Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Last week, Acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller announced that the United States will withdraw thousands of troops from Iraq and Afghanistan by January 15, 2021. In the past 19 years, the United States has deployed nearly 3 million service members to both countries. Over half have been deployed more than once, and the burden of those deployments falls not only on those who serve, but also on their families. The Netflix documentary Father, Soldier, Son examines that toll. It follows the Aish family over the course of a decade. Brian, the single father of two boys, Isaac and Joey, but also a platoon sergeant who's deployed to Afghanistan.
I question myself every day if I'm doing the right thing for my kids. You know, I'm trying to do my duty to my country and deploy, you know, and do what Uncle Sam asks me to do. But, you know, what's everybody asking my boys to do?
Over the years, we hear what's asked of the boys, and the answer is at times heartbreaking. New York Times journalist Katrin Einhorn and Leslie Davis are the co-directors and producers of Father, Soldier, Son, and I spoke with them this past July. And Katrin, I want to start with you, because you are the journalist who first met Brian Aish back in 2010. How did you meet him, and what drew you to him?
Well, I'm the one who first met his boys, actually. So I was part of a team in 2010. We were following one battalion over their year-long deployment to Afghanistan. It was, you know, during President Obama's troop surge, he was sending an additional 30,000 troops to Afghanistan. And I flew to Wisconsin to meet these young boys, you know, whose dad was deployed. And they had been deployed in their own way to their uncle's house because he was a single dad. So they had gone, you know, left everything they knew in upstate New York to go live with their uncle in central Wisconsin while their dad was away. And they were just such compelling little people. You know, they were so honest and open, and they shared their emotions. But it was also so clear how they were just trying so hard to be strong and to live up to the values that, you know, were expected of them.
One of the opening scenes was at the airport as they're saying goodbye to their dad. And you're right. They're trying so hard to be brave, not to cry, but they can't hold it back. Tell me more. Where do you think they got that? Was that from their dad?
Yeah, I think from the time that these boys can remember, like, they've been taught that serving your country is the utmost honor, one of the utmost honors in life, and it requires certain sacrifices, and it requires, you know, Brian would talk to them about his patriotic duty. This was his patriotic duty. And so they certainly tried to live up to that idea.
Leslie, I want to bring you in because there was a sacrifice involved because, you know, shortly after Brian was deployed in Afghanistan, he was seriously wounded, shot in the leg. And I think that's where you come into this story. You know, tell me about your impressions of that wound, that physical wound, and what it did to him emotionally.
Yeah, so Brian, overcoming the inability to walk, dealing with the pain, figuring out whether or not he should keep his wounded leg. I think that stuff was on par with the struggle that he had figuring out who he was because the injury forced him out of the military. So we saw how this physical wound affected a man who really found strength and power in his ability to perform, but also this psychological wound of not knowing who he was when he could no longer serve his country.
Right. His identity is in question for himself. Leslie, I want to stick with you here. At one point, he says he feels guilty because he's not mission ready anymore. In other words, he's been injured. It's the government that has to take care of him. He can't do what he used to do with his kids. You know, and all through this pain, you know, he still remains patriotic and loyal and never really grapples, to me, it seems, with the idea that it was, in fact, his government that sent him to war and that put him in harm's way in many ways, even though it seems like he volunteered to go. What do you think about that? Did he ever feel that his country left him behind?
So I think that Brian really prides himself in being a patriot, and he will say that himself. I think on micro levels could find himself critical of the system and the government when it came to the delays in getting treatment for his leg or just the amount of difficulty he had filing paperwork for certain things. But on a more macro level, criticizing the country goes against very much who Brian is. He definitely had a hard time reconciling the position that he had been put in as a soldier and the things that he experienced because of what was called for by the government for him. You know, the sacrifices that he made leaving his sons, the sacrifices he made being injured, the position it left him in when he got out, those are not things that Brian has an easy time reckoning with in a very overt way.
You can hear his influence on his boys. We're going to play a little bit of tape here. This is the youngest, Joey.
I really liked the military life, and that kind of got me into the wanting to join the Army because I love the Army life.
He says he loves the military life. And then here's Isaac, his eldest boy.
When I was younger, I was always 100% military. Let's go military, put on our uniform and go overseas. But when I actually thought about it, I mean, I'd like to be close to family. I do want to have kids eventually, and I don't want my kids to go through what I went through. I'm pretty sure that they'd want a dad around more than anything else.
Katrin, to me, what you captured through these kids is the complexity of what it means to be a boy in this country and to grow into a young man, and that in this family, just like in many families, you have to be tough to survive, right? Like, do you think those boys really felt that growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I think even Brian felt that, you know, himself. He said to us, you know, that he thought one of the hardest things about being a boy was being tough enough. And I think that, you know, from his perspective, like he's trying to prepare his kids for what life is going to ask of them. And that means really creating a toughness in them. And he thinks that that's going to serve them well.
What did we learn about parenthood through Brian? You know, because he's both, just like any of us, he's both flawed and wonderful at the same time as a father.
I think what we really got to see by sticking with this family for so many years and you know, doing this thing that journalists don't often get to do, which is to really follow the story over a very long amount of time, is we got to see how these values were handed down from one generation to the next, right? And that's what parents do. It's really quite a universal thing, right? To see how the beliefs that shaped Brian end up shaping his boys. And we got to see that really by sticking with the story.
Well, and by sticking with the story, Leslie, you encountered some absolutely heart-wrenching, traumatic developments in this family's life. And, you know, I don't want to give away any of the plot points here. Suffice it to say, they're horrible. And you knew this family over the course of so many years. How did you deal with some of the things that you encountered with them?
I think that it was really difficult. You know, you have to figure out, who am I in this moment? Am I a journalist? Am I a human? Of course, we had a lot of feelings. We were absolutely devastated by what happened with the family and seeing what they went through and the pain that they were feeling. It was hard because we were there as journalists and we were there as filmmakers, and we really had to be professional, pull ourselves together and do our job. But at the same time, we were definitely grieving alongside them.
How often would you see them over the course of a year?
It varied a lot, actually. So I think in the years where we saw them the most, there might have been a trip every month or a trip every other month. And then sometimes we would go many months without seeing them. It just depended on where they were and what was happening in their lives. And we definitely stayed in touch with them and tracked bigger events that were happening or things that we knew spoke to the themes that we were exploring. But we also did have some trips where we went just to observe life and to be there embedded with them when they were living kind of what I think they would consider their normal everyday lives.
Yeah. And Katrin, when you had to deal with some of the most traumatic experiences, do you think that ultimately the family was happy that they let you into their lives for so long?
Yeah, they were so generous in sharing their lives with us and allowing us to tell this story. And we did fly to their home and show them the film. And it was, you know, they laughed and they cried watching it. And at the very end, Brian turned to us and said, "It's true." And I think he finds real meaning, actually, in sharing the experiences that he and his family have been through.
That's Katrin Einhorn and Leslie Davis, co-directors and co-producers of Father, Soldier, Son. I wish I had known when I started watching this that I should have had a box of tissues along with me.
But there are very joyous moments,
oh,
too,
absolutely.
Right? There are very joyous moments, too.
There absolutely are, but you captured it all, which is the point, right? Thanks to you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for watching.